Good morning. Greetings in Christ's name. It's good to be with you this morning. It's already been good to be here in the Sunday school discussion. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. I want to thank you for your blessings to us, Lord. Thank you for the great gift of salvation and for all that you have done for us, both for our spiritual lives and in our physical lives. Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us in this service today, Lord. I pray that your spirit would move among us, that your word would be strong in our hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would just be with each person, whatever struggles each one happens to be going through today, that you would just minister grace to each heart. Be with your people all over the world. Be with those, Lord, who are suffering for your name's sake today. I pray that you'd be near them as well. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. If you would turn with me to Mark 2, it's a beautiful little story here I'd like to read. This morning, I was going out to feed the dog and running just, not late, but almost late. You know how that is. And so I'm hurrying out there next thing I knew, I wasn't paying attention where I was going. My feet hit this ice-covered concrete. And, you know, honestly, somebody should have been there with a camera because it was really about as good as I've ever done this. I backpedaled as fast as I could, and I almost got it. Almost. But it just made it that much worse when it finally went. And I went flying. My hands had, I had stuff in my hands. It landed literally 15, 20 feet away. And I went down so hard, back on my elbow and my back, and rolled over and feet in the air. It was that bad. And all I could think was that was the way to fall if you're going to fall. Sometimes we get into things, we get into situations that we have nobody to blame except ourselves, and it's the way it is, and we're just going about our daily lives, not paying a whole lot of attention, and something happens and it affects us, hurts us, and we have nobody to blame. There are other situations in which maybe the things that we do affect others. Every year in Germany, they discover on average 600 tons of unexploded bombs from World War II. Dig them up all the time. I think the last one I read about was in August of 2015 when they found a bomb that was almost 2,000 pounds. Had to evacuate 10,000 people. Back in 2011, there was one that was 1.8 tons. It was called a blockbuster bomb. It was meant to do maximum damage to buildings. Had to evacuate 45,000 people out of the city of Koblenz to let people get in there and defuse these bombs. A couple years ago, they found one. They were digging. It was 16 feet down. It had penetrated 16 feet down. They were digging for doing some excavation, and here they come across this bomb 16 feet down. And they're still dangerous. They're still alive. It was 2014. There was a construction crew digging with an excavator, and the excavator hit this bomb, and the bomb blew up, killed the man who was running the excavator, wounded a bunch of others. This is from 1945. A long time later. And people are still dying, still being affected by a generation previous to them. Something had nothing to do with them. They had nothing to do with this. And, you know, we wonder, we look around and we see all these hurts, and you know, we know sometimes they're self-inflicted, and other times it's hard not to put blame on other people and say, you know, I inherited these problems, and they're just, there's something that I have nothing to do with, and yet here I am. Well, here's the flip side. Mark 2 has a different kind of a story. I'd like to challenge us today to be this kind of, have this kind of impact on the people around us. So, starting in verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I love this picture that you get. Little house here, and Jesus in the house, and just crowds of people. So many people around that you couldn't even wedge yourself in the door. And it's interesting that the crowd who was there was not necessarily the crowd who needed to be. Well, they all needed to be there. But the people who were interested, the people who were there to evaluate and to mock and to try to find fault with Christ, were the ones who were blocking the way to those who really needed the help. And who were they? And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. These were friends. These are the kind of people who brought their injured friend to Jesus. And I don't know what the man's history was, whether it was a self-inflicted thing, it was an accident, or he was born this way. It doesn't say of the palsy. But, you know, he was helpless to help himself. And these four friends came and brought him to Jesus. And when they came and they found that it was too hard for them to make it in there, what did they do? They went up on the roof and they started tearing tiles off and let the man right down through the roof. Sometimes when we try to help people, it's not easy. It's not just as easy as flipping a switch. It's not as easy as just showing up one time or offering a word of encouragement, although those things are good. Sometimes you're going to have to tear things down. Some things are going to have to be, walls are going to have to be torn down if we're going to bring somebody to Christ. And yet, that's what these men did for their friend. And I think it's so important that we understand that for our own salvation, I think sometimes we have this idea in our mind that Christ has saved me. And therefore, in my spare time, and as I feel an inclination, I will reach out to those around me. It's sort of an afterthought to our salvation. It doesn't work that way. I think salvation and mission are two parts of the same whole. And it's part of being saved is that those who are in Christ have Christ in them, and he's reaching out through them. Christ's people, God's people, are the ones who are reaching out with a mission motive. And, you know, we can find a lot of faults with each other, or we can find ways to wash our hands of each other. I've got one little person at our house who, when reciting the Lord's Prayer, recites it, forgive us our debtors, and I'll forgive my debts. You know, we'll just take care of our debts. Well, we're glad to put those off to the side, and God will take care of the debtors. And we do that. We do that to each other, and we hold each other to the line, and we're perfectly willing to forgive our own debts. And yet, mission, reaching out to those around us, needs to be part of who we are. 2 Corinthians 5 has a beautiful passage about this. Second Corinthians 5, I'm going to start reading down in verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your sakes, for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That motive, or that thought should motivate us. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're accountable according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're accountable for our actions. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We are not our own, as Paul says elsewhere. We're bought with a price. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'd just like you to ask yourself the question this morning. Am I a changed person? has Christ changed me? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God's people are called to reconcile others to Christ. That's our mission. That's our ministry. And we're all called to it. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the message that we have for the world around us, that God wants to reconcile himself with mankind, and that he will accept those who come to him and give themselves to him in repentance and in belief and in discipleship. And it's not just something off to the side. It's not just something we do in our spare time. It becomes part of who we are. It becomes part of who we are as Christ followers. Okay, let's keep on here in Mark 2, the rest of the story. And when these people let this man down into this room, it's interesting what Jesus said. It says he saw their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm sure the four men, the four friends, had an idea what they wanted Jesus to do. They wanted Jesus to make this man better. And I sincerely doubt that they had this in mind when they put their friend to Jesus. Now, we can take people to Christ, but we dare not try to take Christ's place as we minister to people. Let's make sure that we take them to him and let him minister to them. Christ speaks for himself because he sees their heart. He sees what's really going on. He sees what's the real cry, the real need in our hearts. And sometimes, maybe in our zealousness to help somebody out of a financial bind or out of a... We know they need something. They need healing, and we're going to do everything we can to do that for them. Maybe we leave Christ out of it, and we don't let Christ work as he should. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And that's just, I'm sure that went right to this man's heart. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? Well, equally impossible, I would say. Neither one of them is possible. Can't say either one. But Jesus is just proving here again his lordship. They're equally easy on his part. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And now what? Sometimes we're placed before Christ. We are given the opportunity, and he says, get up and go. And maybe we just lie there. Maybe we just sit there and wait for something else to happen. Christ needs us to act. He needs your will. He doesn't remove your will, but he needs your will to be in him and for us to respond when he calls. And that's what this man did. Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it in this fashion. Man was not afraid to act on what Jesus called him to. You know, it does little good for us to forget what is behind if we're not going to reach out to what's before. And Christ has a mission for each one of us. Hebrews talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What am I willing to do? Is my faith an active faith? Is it something that is changing my life? Am I allowing God to draw me closer to him? Am I allowing him to purge me? What do I do with that awkward truth? Or that thing that I'm afraid is true and I don't want it to be? because it'll make it, it's, so instead of accepting it and modeling my life accordingly, I try to sidestep it, work around it. What do I do with awkward truth? Do I embrace it and let Christ change me? Draw me closer to him. What about if it's affecting somebody I love? Do I find ways, even maybe it's harder for us sometimes to accept those kinds of things when they are in somebody that we love than we are in ourselves. We try to make excuses. Remember that the truth will set free. If it's given in love and if it's accepted, the truth will set us free. We shouldn't apologize for the truth. Truth should never be used as a weapon, shouldn't be used as a sword against each other. It should be used in healing, but it should be used without shame, without being bashful. So I'd like to thank many of you for being those friends who aren't afraid to tear down things and help me personally into Jesus' presence. And let's continue that. If you see somebody who's hurting, reach out to them. Don't be afraid to make a scene. Maybe they want it more than you know. Let's be a help to those around us. Instead of them finding an explosive 16 feet underground, something that they weren't expecting, and we damage each other just as collateral damage, maybe even without intent. Let's intend and let's reach out to those around us and intend to help and bring each other into Christ's presence. Let's kneel for